Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for stepping into umpire, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, I'm an English teacher, not a phys ed teacher, but I'll do my best.
You'll do fine. Just call the kids safe or out. And keep an eye on them right there. They've been trying to steal.
Who, him?
No, we use the kids' preferred pronouns. He's on second. I mean them.
There's only one kid there. Who's them?
They are.
He is?
No, they is. He's on second.
You mean her?
Don't call me her. I'm a him.
That's a he. The kid on third uses she.
He uses she?
No, she uses she.
And you want me to keep my eye on them?
Yes.
But especially him.
No, keep your eye on them. They've been trying to steal.
Who's they? Him, her, and him?
No, not him and her. Just them. Their pronoun is there. And they're right there.
I'm an English teacher. I get pronouns. That's him, her, and him.
No, that's them, him, and her.
Excuse me, but now I identify as him.
He's gender fluid. He used to be she, but now she's him.
Huh?
And I'd like to change my pronouns to Z, Zim, and Zer.
Now Z wants you to call Zer Zim.
What's a Zim?
Don't call Zim a what? Now Z is offended.
Look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'll call them by their names. Kids, what are your names?
I'm Addison.
I'm Addison.
Addison.
Their parents are millennials. They named them all Addison.
Well, why do I have to use preferred pronouns?
Because gender is a social construct, and I was born this way.
How can he be born that way if gender is a social construct?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't question their identity, or his, or Zer's. Just follow the rules and call them they.
Who makes these rules?
They do.
This they?
No, not that they. They.
Huh?
They will get you fired if you don't use the right pronoun. They will kick you off of Twitter if you question their beliefs. They cancel comedians and offend them. They get rid of professors with different points of view.
But who's they?
Nobody knows who they are. We just have to listen to them.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us tonight. I'll be with you as long as I can here. I don't have a Monday co-host anymore, so if my voice starts giving out or it gets long in the show and I'm talking to, for, and by myself for a couple, 2.5 hours, I might cut out early. But if we got good conversation and stuff to do, then I'm going to stay here for the long haul. If you feel like joining in tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into tonight's conversation. So, yeah, it's been a while since I've been on, actually. I haven't been on since last Tuesday, so it's been a week. So, lots of stuff going on, one of which is that I want to bring up what's going on in China. I know it hasn't been discussed too often in the fake news, so I wanted to just mention here that China's citizens are heavily protesting to the likes that we haven't seen in a very long time. Of course, China believes in the zero-tolerance COVID policy, so if you have one case of COVID, people are getting welded into their buildings, so they can't leave. They're not getting any food or supplies. There's enough room to just throw the trash out of your window, and that's it. Then somebody that works in a hazmat suit comes by and cleans up the trash once a week or whenever they do it. And people have had enough. They got, what, a couple hundred million people in lockdown that haven't been outside in 3-4 months, and they've run out of food. So that's what's going on right now. And Klaus Schwab was up there just this past weekend talking about how China is the model on how to treat COVID. And if you see any of these videos, that you'll see otherwise, that this is not the model. But then again, could this be a test to see how far they can push the Chinese public? Because you've had protests in Hong Kong, but not to this magnitude in mainland China. And there are calls for him to step down, Xi Jinping, because of how poorly he's treated the people. But he doesn't care. The world anointed him as the leader of the one world government. And honestly, China might think that they are bigger than the one world government. They're fighting with the elites, and that's a good thing for us, because the globalists want to take over the whole earth, and China wants to take over the whole earth, but there can only be one supreme leader, and the fight is going to be Xi Jinping versus the globalist. So I've said this a long time, that most people don't realize that we're in a war right now. But this war does not really have boundaries. And the war is not Russia. The war is not the Ukraine. That's just a way to fund money or funnel money back into the Democrat Party and all the other players. That has nothing to do with war, strangely enough. But it's a war of the 1% versus the 99%. And that's what we're witnessing. So when Xi Jinping orders people welded into their rooms, their houses, doesn't feed them for months, or one person might be allowed out to, if you haven't violated anything, then maybe one person gets let out and there's drones and you get to go shopping for the family. Once a week, you can buy your allotment of allowable groceries, and you have to literally scan a phone everywhere you go. You have to scan your cell phone, and if you're one of the people that the state wants, then they'll hold you there, and they'll tell you, come with me. And that's it. You don't hear of them ever again. And that's what makes it the role model of the earth. That's why the globalists love this plan. Except the only thing about it is that, well, the public doesn't like it, but yeah, they're telling you that all the world influencers are going to have a conference. The leaders of the world, they call it, the leaders and influencers. So it's basically the same people as Bilderberg, with maybe some actors or people that they think that the John Q. public will listen to. I don't care about these people, obviously. To me, they're just a person. It's just not... Who is it? Ben Affleck, I think, that they invited as an entertainer? I don't care who he is. Can I name you two movies he was in? Was it him or Matt Damon that was in Good Will Hunting? And I thought Good Will Hunting was about going to a thrift store and actually hunting down clothes like Macklemore. That's all I know about Good Will Hunting. And that's it. I can't name you anything else. What did I see? So far in the 21st century, I've seen three movies in the movie theater. I think it was three. I don't think it was four. It could have been. It was four. I took my kids. I forgot about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs just to take the kids. I can't remember anything about that movie except the kids watched it. But let me show you what I have so far in China, and there might be more. I grabbed a ton of videos in regards to China. So let's get Dan Bongino out of the way first, and then I got other ones. Let's get it going.
Where are they on the protests in China? Protests in China. Some of you are like, what happened? Oh, yeah. Not hearing much, right? Joe heard it. Joe heard it. You know what it sounds like, Joe? It sounds like your cricket sound effect.
Yeah,
a little bit. Okay. Oh, I thought, you know what? I had to turn my interference or something like that. Maybe Joe had the compressor or something. I don't know what any of that stuff means. Joe just tells me. So it was cricket. So we didn't hear any massive protest. Massive, believe me, by Chinese Communist Party standards, this is a BFD, a big freaking deal. You have, by the tens of thousands, citizens of China, erupting against these draconian, immoral, evil, torturous lockdown, welding people's doors shut so they can't get out of their house because they've had a COVID case in there. There was a fire in one of these houses. The fire department couldn't get in, killed 10 people. Here's just 10 seconds, roughly, of some of the protests that erupted in China. And what have you heard from Biden, the celebrity crowd, entertainers, LeBron? Zippo. Zero. Here, check this out. Where's the statement from where is the strong, angry statement against China for torturing its citizens, welding their doors shut so they can't get out of their homes for COVID, to the point where fire department folks can't get in there, firefighters, and they burn to death, like burn. That really hurts. I had a house burned down once. I didn't burn with it, thankfully, knock on wood. Where's the support? Where are all the liberals? They're going to put out a strong statement of condemnation against the Chinese Communist Party for locking people down to the point that they die in their homes? Where's that? Where is that? The answer is, it's nowhere, because they want this. You will see more of this, more of what you saw in New York, more of what you see in California, more spending, more debt, and more inflation, because they want to use the crisis coming. And there is one coming. Believe me, it's happening. It is happening. You are in the midst right now of one of the biggest economic bubbles in human history. That guy is right, Isaki. He is 100% correct. They want it. They want it. The Great Reset crowd wants a China model here. They love this stuff. If they didn't, they would speak out against it. The idea of a government being able to snap its fingers and lock people down and do what it wants is the perfect exemplar for them of what the totalitarian future they wet their pants over is. That's why you don't hear them speaking out. Even the AP's covering it. Crowd angered by lockdowns calls for Xi Jinping to step down. Folks, it's a lot different now. Tiananmen Square was different. You didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have a cell camera. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Truth. You didn't have Facebook. You didn't have the ability to bypass via VPN a lot of the internet censors. Whatever goes down in China, as you just saw from the video I played, you're going to see it. The Tiananmen Square video made it out, but you didn't see 1/1000th of what happened there. You're going to see it all in live time. And I want you to understand that this is what they want here. This destruction of your public safety situation, your financial situation, the coming inflation crisis, and the collapse in the market value of all those things I told you is not an accident. They want this. That when it collapses, they're going to use useful idiots in the media to blame free market economics for it, get people to call for more totalitarianism, because this is what they want. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
So just to piggyback there, so when Klaus Schwab and everybody else says that China and what they're doing right now is the role model for everybody else, yeah, they are serious on that. If they can take the entire U.S. population and weld them in their homes, you won't know how happy those people would be. And if there's a fire and you can't get the firemen can't get in there, then hey, that's just business. That's the cost of doing business. It's collateral damage. That's all they look at you as. it's not like they know you or anything. They just know that they committed so many crimes against humanity and have stolen so many funds. If you think that stealing funds is illegal, what, there's a conference in a couple days with, what is that? I want to say Bill Gates is there, and the FTX guy, that fried Bankman, or Bankman freed, whatever, and Zelensky, the Ukraine president, is going to speak, and Janet Yellen, among others. And you would think I'm joking, that you have the who's who of wanted globalists. And they're all going to speak there at the same event, like nothing's going on. But you know why the FTX guy can speak? Well, he funds the 1%. And if you're the bankster of the 1%, hey, nothing's going to happen to you. Only if you steal from the 1%, that's when you get in trouble. You could steal all day long from the 99%. Ain't no one going to care. If Bankman-Fried stole my bank account and all of my listeners' bank accounts, they're not going to give a you-know-what. But if someone tried to rob Bill Gates' bank account, oh, yeah. That's the thing. They want the chaos. And what's to say that this isn't staged? Because if China's out of control and they can somehow try and set this up where they blame the people, not Xi Jinping, not the lockdowns, but they blame the people for not wanting to assist in getting rid of COVIDs, then guess what? They're going to do anything they can to get fake news to be on the support of the Chinese dictatorship. If anything, Xi Jinping will get more power out of this. He's not resigning. He's the darling of the globalist. He's not going anywhere. His job is probably one of the most safest jobs in the world. He's not going anywhere. And this is what the globalists want. The only way that Xi Jinping does not survive this is if he goes against the other globalists and they look at Xi Jinping in the same way that in the mid-1940s the globalists looked at Hitler, where Hitler was on their side with Mussolini and all the others, and he took things into his own hands and bypassed the globalist and said, screw this, we're not going to wait. We could take over the world now. And he was that close. He was that close to taking everything away, and we would be all speaking German, but he got greedy. And the globalist pretty much went after him, and he had a good fight. Fortunately for the world, he lost, but did he really lose? Our military helped get him into Argentina to live out his life so he could live in peace before he met his death. So we could be on the same wavelength as that. Maybe there'll be a world war just to stop
if anything, it's not, I don't see this as a war over beliefs, and I just look at this more so, well, it is of beliefs, but it's not anybody trying to take each other's land. It's not about standing up for what's right and invading a quote-unquote evil country. This is about globalists trying to out-globalist each other. And that's what we're going to be playing our role in here. Because Canada, Ireland, England, Australia, all of them have their plans to become just like China. And very soon. It's not a 5-10 year deal. It's probably by the end of next year, maybe 2024. But I don't think that they want to take that long in the U.S., especially if there's a chance of Trump becoming president or, you know what's sad? And maybe I'll get into that later. But I appreciated Trump at the time. I voted for him in 16 and 20. And in 24, I wasn't normally regularly thinking about voting for Trump. I was ready to move on to whoever. But if the globalists like Karl Rove and was that John Bolton, among others, are talking about it's time for Ron DeSantis to be president, I'm not saying I wouldn't support DeSantis right now. But before the globalists try to get in with DeSantis, I was heavily on the DeSantis train. And I'm not saying I'm not, but it scares me when globalists are supporting a Republican. And we know the track record that DeSantis has, and maybe the globalist, or at least the United States globalists, are looking at this like, maybe they have to concede on a couple things, but as a whole, if they can groom DeSantis to be the guy, and they would rather have him than deal with Trump because Trump won't do what they want him to do, and they feel DeSantis can, I think that they... You don't know what will happen when people are put in those kinds of predicaments. So I can't tell you if DeSantis will end up being a good guy or a bad. I hope he's righteous. He's done all the right things so far, but it scares me when you have certain war hawks that are talking about how they think he would make a great president. And I'm not denying that what we know of DeSantis would make him a great president, but it just scares me when you have the 1% that want to put their vote behind him. That scares me off. So I hope I'm wrong. I can't tell you one way or the other if we're going to see Trump versus DeSantis. I don't know. All right, I uploaded a few more clips here. And I just want to see what it is that I have so that I can get some of this going here. Oh, hold on here. I had the whole thing up. All right, I'm looking for... Let's do this. I want to play another... I have a couple more clips of China lockdown. I want to go ahead and get all that out of the way right now here. So I got two clips. The one's 4 minutes. The other one's a little bit longer.
What we are witnessing right now is an extraordinary, historic moment in China. These protests are breaking out across the country, from here in the capital in Beijing to elite college campuses to other major metropolises and even far-flung cities. This is an unprecedented level of public dissent since Xi Jinping took power a decade ago. What we're seeing is people past their breaking point. It's years of pent-up anger. This is 3 years of draconian lockdowns that have cost people's lives, their livelihoods. But the trigger for this wave of protests was a deadly fire in Xinjiang that killed at least 10 people. Videos of the scene indicated that COVID restrictions prevented victims from getting help. But these protesters, not just angry about COVID lockdowns, they're also targeting their anger towards the supreme leader himself. This protest scene in particular is extraordinary. Let's just take a listen to it again. Paula, that is people in Shanghai calling Xi Jinping to step down over and over again. Those chants go on for quite some time. They're also calling for the Communist Party to step down. I can't overstate just how shocking it is to hear this crowd in Shanghai, China's wealthiest and most cosmopolitan city, and that chanting happening in a central, upscale part of the city to be directly calling out for Xi Jinping to resign. I mean, this is virtually unheard of. And in China, it is extremely dangerous to publicly criticize the party, especially Xi himself. You risk prison time, or even worse. Some protesters also chanted they don't want COVID tests, they don't want dictatorship, they want freedom and democracy. Witnesses told CNN as well that rows of police officers were making arrests, forcefully pushing protesters into police cars. But the next day on Sunday, hundreds of Shanghai residents returned to continue protesting despite heavy police presence and roadblocks. Videos also showed some protesters violently dragged away, and now that area has been mostly cordoned off. But what we're seeing is this tipping point across the country after years of suffering and deaths during lockdowns because people struggle to get food, necessities, and emergency care in lockdown, Paula.
A remarkable scene indeed. Of course, we don't realistically expect Xi Jinping to step down, but is there any sign that the government might back down on some of these restrictions?
Well, the government is in a difficult place right now because COVID cases continue to surge, continue to rise, and the party's line has been that they need to keep zero COVID because it's protecting the vulnerable elderly population where the vaccination rates are still lagging behind. But after that fire in Xinjiang, after there were protests in Xinjiang and across the country, the government did say it was going to start to relax some of the COVID lockdowns there. But at the same time, you have state media publishing headlines that are basically doubling down on zero COVID, saying it is the best policy for China. And I just want to reiterate that fire in Xinjiang, Paula, it really triggered people's worst nightmares here because it's really the idea that any one of us here in the country could have been stuck in a lockdown building while a fire is raging, unable to get out or to get help.
I started another clip. I didn't expect this to be that long of a stretch in between, but I just think that the average person in America has no clue what's going on, because you're not going to have fake news report any of this mess. So you have people also involved in this FTX that the fake news wants to hide. I'll tell you how bad the FTX is, that they would probably give up the Epstein client list before they give up how they stole money out of FTX. Because the FTX chain leads to everything. It won't lead to Jeffrey Epstein, because he didn't kill himself while it was a thing, while FTX was a thing. So he killed him. He didn't kill himself before then. All right, I thought I had another clip, but I'm not going to worry about that one right now. I think what I will do, I uploaded a video based on central bank digital currency, and I want to get into that first, and then I could talk afterwards. I don't want to confuse people and then have people listen to the video. I think the video does a good job explaining, and then I can come back. But I do want to get into this right now, so I'm going to go ahead and let it do its thing.
Central bank digital currencies will control your life. Where you live, what you eat, where you travel, everything. Absolute control. You might be looking at me thinking, who is this crazy conspiracy theorist? But don't take this from me. Take this directly from the head of the Bank for International Settlements. And fair warning, the clip we're about to watch, it's a bit disturbing.
For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who is using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.
You heard it directly, absolute control. And the way this would work is that in a cashless society where a government digital currency is the primary form of payment, it is very simple for a government to block a transaction or freeze your money. You may be wondering, well, why don't we have this today? Don't we already have digital payments today? Most people pay through credit cards or mobile apps. Well, the thing about today is we live in a partition system. The way money works today is it's broken up into segments. If you have an issue or get locked out of one section, you can simply hop over to another section. We have the base layer of money, and on top of it, we have banking and mobile apps. So if a bank freezes your account or a mobile app kicks you off, you can very easily jump to a new bank or a new app that will accept you. And unfortunately, this does happen today. It may have even happened to some of you that are watching this video. It also recently happened to Andrew Tate, a very controversial viral sensation. He didn't do anything illegal. He didn't go to jail. But the people at the top didn't like what he was saying. So what they decided to do was ban him across several applications. And the clip we're about to watch, it might get you a bit angered. So my recommendation is to get some comfort food. And here is what Andrew Tate had to say.
Let me film my final message explaining how this is unfair and unjust. We filmed it, we produced it, we got to all edit it within 12 hours, had the film ready to go, but we couldn't post it because of the YouTube strike. So we're waiting for the YouTube strike to expire. A few hours before the YouTube strike expires, guess what happened? They banned me from YouTube. Then they banned me from Discord. Then they banned me from Airbnb. They banned me from Stripe. I can't even remember. It was just emails coming in faster than you could believe. Ban.
So the Matrix, the phone
call. Oh, no. The Matrix presses a button, my friend. Yeah. And every app on your phone stops working. Uber. You name it.
Stop.
You name it.
Wait, you can't use Uber?
Well, I can use Uber. You just start a new account, right? But,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, Uber. That's right. But,
yeah. Your main account on Uber was taken.
They take everything.
Coordinated effort all at once.
Every single one of them just goes, no. Delete. And they come at you and they come at you every day.
Banking, right.
Banks.
Payment process.
Oh, and banks. UK-based banks as well. High Street, banks. I can name. Santander, HSBC, Barclays, etc. All at the same time. No, sorry. The change we've decided because blah, blah, some bullshit, some letter, close your accounts. So they take all your banking, they take your payment processing, they take all your social media presence. They take your Discord, they take your Skype, they take all your accounts, your ability to communicate with people, and then they lie about you to the press.
And what's so crazy about this whole thing is he didn't do anything illegal. He's not in court, he's not in jail. Instead, he did things that people at the top didn't like, so they deleted him across multiple platforms, including banking apps as well. But he'll be okay. He has a lot of money, and also, as mentioned, we live in a partition system. You get locked out of one place, you can hop to another. But with a central bank digital currency, everything changes. As mentioned earlier, there's the base layer of money, and then we have these mobile and banking apps built on top of it. But with a CBDC, the base layer is a government-controlled central bank digital currency. So even if you get locked out of a bank or an app and hop over to a new one, well, the base layer can freeze your money. Central bank digital currencies, pretty dangerous. And when we look at them, most people see it as a very convenient, easy solution, but they ignore all of the negatives that come along with it. With a CBDC, everything can be tracked. And if a state or a government doesn't like what you're doing, they can freeze your money, they can block a transaction. And I'm not even talking about illegal activities. Maybe you went to a basketball game in public and you got drunk. Or maybe you cursed out your neighbor and the authorities, they don't like that, so they punish you and they control the way you use your money. And now you can't get on a certain train, or maybe you can't eat at your favorite restaurant. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately as a warning, we got a glimpse of the capabilities of a CBDC. Because not too long ago, the United States put sanctions on Tornado Cash. This is a privacy app built on top of Ethereum, and the government didn't like it. So they said any assets that went through this application should be blacklisted or frozen. And they forced Circle, the creators of USDC, to freeze the USDC that went through Tornado Cash. USDC is not real cryptocurrency. It is a 100% centralized cryptocurrency. When we talk about government CBDCs, there is a 0% chance they will make a decentralized version. It will 100% be centralized. They will control the supply, they will track it, they will know who is spending money on what, and they can freeze your money at any time. Some even believe that the United States one day may adopt USDC as their CBDC. And if you're still watching at this point, you're probably starting to understand the dangers of a CBDC, but even if you can understand, it's pretty hard to imagine how it actually plays out. Well, we don't have to imagine because we can just look directly at China and what has been going on over there over the last several years. China has a social credit system. Citizens will be given points or have points taken away based off of their behavior. If, for example, someone donates blood or participates in charity work, they will be given points and they may get certain rewards such as access to a free gym or shorter wait times in hospitals. But on the opposite end, if someone doesn't visit their aging parents or they cheat in an online game or they spread rumors on the internet, they will be punished and they may lose certain privileges. For example, exclusion from flights or train tickets, restricted access to public services, no access to private schools, and public shaming. It's really scary. And the reason certain regions in China were able to do this program successfully is because certain regions in China are nearing cashless societies. The primary form of payment is digital, with popular apps such as WeChat and Alipay. And if you can control someone's money, you control their life. It's really scary. And unfortunately, it's likely only going to get worse because China is at the forefront of CBDCs. And they have been testing CBDCs in several regions in China. And eventually, when CBDCs control the entire country, China will have absolute control. There will be no running away. Everything that a user spends will be tracked, and money can be frozen or blocked at any moment. And we're not talking about for illegal activity. We're talking about for activities that are simply frowned upon by the government. And China is not the only country working on a CBDC. More than half of the countries in the world are working on CBDCs, and it'll likely grow over time. I'm over here on the Atlantic Council CBDC tracker, and it shows all the countries around the world and where they are currently standing when it comes to CBDCs. We can see there are those that have already launched, those in pilot, those in development, and many in the research phase. If we look at the United States, they are currently in the research phase. And in the first ever crypto regulatory framework from the White House, they clearly outline that they are exploring a U.S. CBDC. But some good news, Jerome Powell recently stated that the U.S. has decided to not proceed with a CBDC and instead take a few more years to understand crypto CBDCs and the regulatory framework. But eventually, it will be here. But it's not just about the United States. Many of you watching are not from the United States. You are from different parts of the world. And CBDCs are coming. So what can we do to stop it? The answer is nothing. They will be here. Some this year, some next year, some within the next 5 years. And when that happens, absolute control over your money. So what can we do to prepare? Well, if you're on this channel, you probably know what the answer is. And that is getting our hands on money that no one can take from us. Money that no one can block. And you know what that reminds me of? Decentralized cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin or something like Monero for privacy. And I don't say this from a money-making perspective. I'm not making this video to say, buy Bitcoin, buy Monero, or buy any other cryptocurrency in anticipation of CBDC so that the money will explode. Although I do think when the world wakes up to the harms of CBDCs, and the value of a decentralized cryptocurrency, I do think cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin will explode. But instead, I am making this video from a practical sense of freedom. You never know when you'll need some money in the event of an emergency, and it would probably be a very wise decision to get some cryptocurrency and save it for the future. And I'm not talking about a large amount or thinking, how am I going to make money or do a 300% profit on my money? I'm just talking about taking a small amount, which could be different for each person. For some, it's 200, for some, 1,000, some, 10,000, and store it offline on a cold wallet. A big mistake many people will make is buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies thinking that they are securing their freedom for the future, but they keep it on a centralized exchange. If crypto is on a centralized exchange, it is no better than a CBDC. The exchange can control your money and take it from you at any time. I still use exchanges. I'm not saying I'm against them. But on the opposite end, it's probably a wise decision to have crypto offline in a cold wallet, such as a Trezor or a Ledger. If you don't have a cold wallet at this point and you have been in crypto for a while, go ahead and get one. I recommend a Ledger. And if you want to know which Ledger to get, go ahead and watch this video right here.
All right, so I wanted to bring that up just for the point that people have been talking recently about the CBDC, which is this Fed coin or the central bank digital currency, CBDC. And, all the large banks in the United States are testing this, and I have the air quotes here. They're testing this right now. So they're going to test it for 12 weeks. Just because they're testing it does not mean that they're ready to move on it next month or in April. I don't know. But there will be some kind of event that the planners will do once they feel that this digital currency is ready, in the sense of how Europe is going to go to this. And, of course, China has it. And once we allow them to go to the digital currency, that's when you know it's the beginning of the end, because they control the terms. And if you don't listen to them, then you do not have access to your money. Just like the video said, where if you create a post on Spybook or something that somebody does not like, you shared quote-unquote fake news, true news, then maybe you can't get on an airplane for a year. And then you have to, you can't get on a bus or a train, and guess what? Your cell phone is locked for 30 days. So then you wouldn't have your QR code so you can buy anything. So because you posted that a man can't get another man pregnant, then because you said that a man can't get another man pregnant, you were discriminatory. And so because of your genderist beliefs, that they don't care what kind of money or bills that you have. They don't care that your rent is due on the 1st. You just get frozen for 30 days. Why do you think PayPal was allowed to charge people $2,500 for a quote-unquote misinformation? They want the destruction. They want the not just destruction of us, but they want the destruction of all the currencies so that everything can fall in line with one universal currency, and they control the terms and conditions of it. Just think of how much the average person will conform if they know that if they want to go to the baseball game tomorrow, they can't post anything about Brandon. They can't tell you that a woman can't get a man pregnant, or you can't talk about how much you think drag queen story times are groomer events. Even though it's true, you're not allowed to share stuff like that, or else you're going to be canceled. And if you think cancellation is big now, wait until we allow them to play with these cryptos on us. Not cryptos necessarily. Cryptos, I like cryptocurrency. But I don't want Fedcoin. That's the last thing we want. Or New World Order coin. You definitely don't want that. But that could potentially be coming. But it's going to get bad. So we got to stop them. We got. I was talking about this on my nonprofit, doing a live, where we have to peacefully find a way to wake up your friends, and now is not the time to say, oh, I don't want to offend my friends. They're offending you. I just don't get when someone says, oh, I'm not going to post about the rollout of the Fedcoin because I don't want my liberal friends to be mad. That's why we're in trouble. The radicals don't care what your thoughts are. They're going to slam their opinions in your face, and they will let you know that every female can somehow get a man pregnant because they know that you're too chicken shit to say anything back at them. Because, oh, you don't want to be called a racist or a genderist or a homophobe or whatever it is. Insert the word of the day here. So they can tell you all kinds of nonsense because the average person won't stand up for themselves. That's just what it is. It's sad that it comes to that, but that's it. I don't know if you guys heard about what's going on in San Francisco right now. Two things. One, the police department requested, and I haven't seen the answer yet, but they requested over the last few days, they want killer robots for real. They've been using some police robots, but that's not enough. They want the robots in San Francisco, the police robots, to actually shoot to kill. Because that's exactly what you want in cases that you may or may not have a proper suspect. Shoot to kill. That's the orders that they want. They'll probably get it. Also, I don't know if you heard about this, but if you're one of the 97 lucky genders that did a special rollout starting next month, where if you are a trans, you get an extra $1,200 a month. And some people thought I was joking on that. And they have a list of 97 genders that you have to choose from. Male and female are not it, I promise. It's only a trans reparations. And then if you're trans and black, then you score on two reparations tables. Can you imagine? You get $2,400 a month because you're a black trans? That's what, that's like $29,000 a year. And all you have to do is continue being a black trans. And it's not enough to say that you're a trans. You have to actually specify. And I made a Broccoli Man clip on this year. I'm going to play that. And then I'm going to come back, and I want to show you. You know what? Do I want to do it first? I might. Hold on here. I want to see if I can find that instead of saying I'll come back to it later. All right, just give me a second here. I thought I had it. That's what's annoying me here. Unless I have it somewhere else, but I'll play the Broccoli Man clip then, and then I'll come back and I'll have the article one way or the other here. All right, let's go ahead and handle the Broccoli Man of the week here. It's called Trans Outlaw, and it features the millennials.
For us to get our new paychecks. We can finally afford to move from a studio apartment to a one-bedroom.
What happened at the trans payment office?
We both got our $1,200 a month paychecks for being trans.
I'm a trans outlaw.
I also wanted to be a trans outlaw, but they said I had to be something else, or I would not be eligible for the money. I would just be considered gay.
You never even told me which gender you are now.
Since I could not be a trans outlaw, the guy gave me a list of pronouns to choose from. I told him I want to be a stud, but the guy said I look and act like a travesty.
Do you have to change pronouns?
He said I'm now a Z/Sims. I'm okay with being Sims.
The person helping us was cool though.
Did you have to do anything else after filling out the forms to get your fat tax?
They was cool with me. They said I will get my $1,200 starting next month. I just had to make sure my gender stays as trans outlaw.
The person that helped us, he was okay. He wore a blue suit. He said his name is Dwartap. He explained he was a/him. He said I was acting like Lisa's. Since I chose my gender right in front of him, he made me do some tests to prove I was really a trans and not just pretending so I can just get a paycheck.
What tests did you have to do? Was it hard?
First, he told me I needed to remove my dungarees and he had to put me in the naked body scanner. Then he said he had to inspect my junk. After he looked at my junk, he said I was definitely not a stud. Then he made me diddle him and then he diddled me to prove that I was not a cisgendered male. After we diddled each other, he said I was definitely not a male.
They also said that when the Black Universal Basic Income comes around, I will get $1,200 for that also. And because I am trans, I will get my black income before everyone who is cisgender and black starts getting theirs.
Then we are finna party up in this biz. I like the rent is only $1,999. Up in here.
Soon it will only be just the straight white males that have to work. We won't have to do a thing other than get our boosters, shoot each other with guns, and take all of the fentanyl.
And then finally I can get pregnant.
Don't forget. The wiretap said we are required once a month to dress in drag and read a drag queen story time to the kids.
The first one we have to do is on the 8th. We have to wear high heels and tape over our nipples and that's all. I am so happy we get to read the book about transhumanism to all those nice kids who are also trans.
They also said we will get extra carbon credits than regular white people.
I know. It's that Green Jones again. That dude is a something ducker for real.
He is finna say a lot for his size.
Mike, I am glad I found you. We found your car this morning. Your Prius was sitting in front of the GMO Bell. The tires were stolen from it. So I told everyone at the police station about it. We all chipped in and bought you some new rims and tires. You just have to go down to Max Auto Repair in the morning and they will take care of you.
We've been done told you, you racist something ducker. We do not need your help. Tarmac and his auto repair to shove it up his.
How dare you try to help me? I will never take help from someone who is not a liberal.
By the way, most people say thank you. You are lucky to get your car back in running order. You are welcome.
We're not most people. We're liberals.
We also have to ban the hydrogen monoxide. It is killing people.
Really? Then what are you going to drink, bathe in, or swim in?
We do not need hydrogen monoxide to go swimming. my girlfriend and I go swimming all the time. We do not need hydrogen monoxide to go swimming. Again with the girlfriend-ish. That is it. We are going to go protest meat products at McGMO right now and I'm going to use Gorilla Glue on your ball sack and sit you down naked right in the drive-thru. No. Please, Malik. I can change. You are the best girlfriend I ever had. I love you more than anything. You don't learn, do you? That is it. I will also glue your shoes so you're not going anywhere. I will put a sign on your that says only cisgenders eat meat. We will make everyone learn about eating bugs and earning nothing. This is not fair. I want to save my swimming so I can be the best step for you. But even the trans office today said you are not a stud. You are a travesty. This broccoli dude is so selfish. It is too bad he supports Trump and not Michael Robinson Obama.
Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady.
Yes. Please explain how I am so selfish. But I tracked you down just so I can tell you we found your car. And we even replaced the rims and tires out of own pocket. Without expecting anything in return but a thank you.
You never vote Democrat if you are cisgendered. That makes you selfish, racist, xenophobic, and transphobic, and dragophobic. You need to grow up and stop hating us trans people.
You also need to stop hating on black people. You need to let us get the reparations and our four-finger discount.
And you need to be supportive of my girlfriend helping me get pregnant. I love her. She is my everything. Oh dear.
That's it. I'm not calling you Sims. I'm going to tell the Turan's office you are a he/him and not a /Sims.
Please honey, I want to be Sims. I do not want to have to work. I want to just be a trans travesty.
We will see who's a Sims when we gorilla glue your kumquats to the ground in the McGMO drive-thru. Let's get going.
Will you at least put a scam on my face so no one thinks I support Trump?
Bleep your scam. You're going to have to roar all that oxygen and everyone will laugh at you.
I feel so much dapper having a scam on my face and covering my kumquats. Please, Matt, I'll do anything if you just let me wear your scam.
Please. Do not live like these liberals. Get educated. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live so you can hear the live show. Learn what these globalists are doing to us. See how we can fight back together against these elites. FreedomizerRadio.com. Please check out the other shows on the network also.
We're not going to educate ourselves. The Democrats were able to print up enough fake ballots to win the election. I'm good with that. We also need to teach these racists and transphobes like Mike to respect us Turan's apples.
I'm sorry for being white and having junk under my pants. Come on, Malik. Let's go do Dry Queen story time.
All right, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I thought it was a good episode, I thought. I know sometimes when episodes are okay and some are good. That one was pretty good. Anyway, I wanted to follow up. You guys won't believe some of these names of some of these genders now that you can be. So obviously it's not enough to be a hermaphrodite or a male or a female. You can't just be gay or lesbian. It's not about that anymore. Gay and lesbian is so 90s, if you will. It's all about the trans now. So let me read to you here. Now, in order to get this $1,200 from San Francisco, you have to be something other than a male or a female or a gay or lesbian. You must be a trans. And so you'll have your new pronouns. You could be a it, its, or its. You could be a co-co or co's, a z, zim, ziz, I am airs, per, pers. Those are some of the pronouns. And there's also a not listed, and you can fill in the box. So I know if somebody wants me to put my gender in there, I am going to put my pronouns as ass/beat. That's what I'm going to do here. So there's a list of gender identities that you could choose from here. And you could be a feminine of center, whatever that is, a woman with a history of gender transition. You could be a woman of trans experience. You could be a man of trans experience. I don't know how that works. I don't know whether you transition back. I don't have a clue. You could be a demi boy, a brother boy, gender queer, agender, xenogender, a butch. You could be a boy, B-O-I. You could be a stud, like our friend Mike was trying to be, but he got turned down. You could be an AG. You could be an aggressive. You could be a gender outlaw. And I did not look up what a gender outlaw is, and I don't know if there's more than 10 people in the world that are any of these, but we'll see. You could be a gender H, a pan gender, third gender you could be. I don't know what a third gender would be. Gender creative, gender expansive, neutrois, omnigender, gray gender. You could be a maverick, two-spirit, Hira, a Cthulhu, Mukes, M-U-X-E, Kenneth, MTX. You could be an FTX. You could be the currency that funds everything, an FTX. You could be a Bakla, a Mahu, Fa'afa'in, Waria, Pala O'ana, Ashtime, Meshoga, Mangalco, Chibados, Taito Wina, Aksa, Aliha, Huam, Lemana, Nadlil, Dilba, Winky. I don't know what a Winky would be. I don't know any of these, really. One's not pronounceable. Maki Embra, Quarry Wormy, Chukchi, Waka Wahin. That must be Hawaiian. Fakleti, Bisu, a cult, or a travesty. You could be any of those. Oh, there's more. BDSM and kink. That's a sexual orientation. That's a gender. Oh, they do. I didn't see this before. Towards the bottom of the page. A gender outlaw. Someone who refuses to conform to society's expectations of their sex assigned at birth. Yeah, I don't know any of this. But if you could figure it out and you want to be one of those, you too can get your $1,200 a month. All right, let's get back to some clips here. Oh, this is Klaus Schwab over the last few days discussing what's going on in China.
In the APEC this year, both the leaders meeting and also the APEC CEO summit, you just spoken at the opening panel, Professor. So how do you see we would be able to, with our capability, to carry on this kind of discussion in the right direction?
We have to define the specific elements of the global system. For example, nature and environment, climate change, and then to see what are actually the areas where we can make true progress, where we can have a real impact. I'm very glad that China is integrated into our initiative to plant 1 trillion trees in the next 10 years by making its own contribution. We have to try with a collaborative platform where we integrate the best people, the most relevant people, and then to work for progress. Now the base has been formed, but we have to go one step further. We have to have a strategic mood. We have to construct the world of tomorrow. It's a systemic transformation of the world. So we have to define how the world should look like, which we want to come out of this transformation period.
Earlier, we have the great narrative of so-called the globalization. And everybody believe in it, and everybody thinks this is our shared future. Now, as world is changing, we need to reshape again the vision, as you just said. But how to bring everybody on board?
So is now the opinion globalization has failed, and we are entering into an era of deglobalization. I think that's wrong. We have the reshaping of certain supply chains. So for certain physical goods, we may see much more reshoring or home shoring. In reality, the world has moved closer together because we are moving from a physical world much more in a digital world. And the digital world, by nature, is much more globally oriented. Now you asked how to do it.
Yes.
I think it needs what we feel in the World Economic Forum, a multi-stakeholder approach. It's certainly governments who have to be in the lead, but business, most of the solutions will come through innovation from business, and we have to integrate the large population. We have to mentor the population and to show through our good examples that the future requires this change, and the change at the end ultimately will be beneficial for them.
From your perspective, how do you understand this ambition of China to have the Chinese path toward modernization and share it with the developing world?
I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years since the opening up and policy and reform policy came into action. I think it's a role model for many countries, but I think also we should leave it to each country to make its own decision what system it wants to adopt. And I think we should be very careful in imposing systems. But the Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
This is what I mean when the transphobia just comes out, the audacity and just the arrogance for cis women to believe that they own, period, that they own womanhood. You don't. Okay? You don't own periods. You don't own womanhood. You experience both, and both are different for every person, but as a cis woman, it doesn't belong to you, so you can't gatekeep it. Like,
how's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today we got to talk about San Francisco Mayor London Breed introducing a brand new program to bring universal basic income, or UBI, to low-income transgender citizens of that particular city. Yes, you heard that right. UBI just for trans people. Now, I'm not sure if that's male to female, female to male, or whatever they identify as, or what's going on, but that program will be available for them. Now, here's a few questions just from the beginning. Whatever happened to I identify as whatever I identify as and that's what I am? How are you going to prove that somebody is transgender? Why don't you have just some random person, Ravishing Rick Root from WWF back in the day, he goes to San Fran and says, okay, now I'm transgender. Okay, Incredible Hulk, Ultimate Warrior, somebody like that. Yeah, I'm transgender. I'm 6'8". 300 pounds, solid muscle, but yeah, now I'm transgender. Where's my money at? Oh, I make too much money? Well, I identify as poor, so I might be worth $1 million, but so what? I identify as completely poor. I have no money, not a dollar to my name. The Aston Martin right there, you see me driving, coming up to this particular place, that is not even my car. I borrowed it from a friend. Even if it is my car, I'm still poor. So where's my money at? How can you verify that someone is transgender and poor and give them money while at the same time they are identifying as a certain thing and you're giving them money because of that? I don't understand that makes any sense. It's kind of weird. The whole thing is weird, but the verification process behind it to give out the money seems to be flawed inherently. But before I say anything else, there's an article here, and of course I will link to this in the description. See the lady right there? That is London Breed. Remember her when she went to the concert during the scandemic, plandemic, or whatever, talking about, yeah, I was feeling the spirit. Meanwhile, she had the city locked down. Yeah, that same London Breed. And you see the headline here. This is on theblaze.com. It says, San Francisco's Democrat mayor launches guaranteed income program, again, UBI, for transsexuals, transgenders, whatever the case may be, whatever they call themselves back in the day. You know, when I was a young man walking 1 million miles on the road to school, they called them transvestites. Remember that? But then it was transsexual. Now it's transgender. Now I don't know what's going on. I don't know the exact term, so please pardon my ignorance. But anyway, we continue. So it's a guaranteed income program for transsexuals giving select residents $1,200 a month for 18 months. So about a year and a half, you'll get this money. Now I don't know if you can identify somebody else to get the money. Like, how does that really work? How much of this is based on fantasy and how much is based on reality? That's my question I would have to this program administrator. But anyway, let's continue here. Transsexuals may only account for a silver minority of the population, or silver minority, but they have garnered a majority of certain Democrats' concerns, with their city facing a 7.4% increase in violent crime and out-of-control homelessness, plus the inflation is racking the whole country. San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Democrat, has kicked off a so-called guaranteed income program for those who identify as members of the opposite sex. And again, how do you know that I'm legitimately identifying as a member of the opposite sex? How does that really work? Are you going to follow me for a long time to verify that I am who I say I am, which is not really who I am? It's who I think I am. Are you going to follow me to verify that I am who I think that I am and not who I actually am biologically? Is that how it's going to work? But anyway, gender dysphoria has its perks. Reading out the so-called guaranteed income for trans people program on Wednesday, claiming that, quote, our trans communities experience much higher rates of poverty and discrimination, so this program will target support to lift individuals in this community up, unquote. It is unclear whether Breed was referencing a popular, albeit outdated, 7-year-old survey backed by transsexual activist groups that allege 33% of transsexual Californians are living in poverty, nearly 3 times the poverty rate of the general population. Regardless of the veracity of this claim, the city has allocated $2 million over 2 years for GIFT, G-I-F-T, which will allow 55 low-income transsexuals with $1,200 every month for up to 18 months. Now, my question is, how did they identify these people? That's a very, very small group. And with a small group like that, it's got to be a targeted and focused effort. So how did they identify these individuals? You're talking about streetwalkers. You're talking about those that have been incarcerated before. They've been known to the prison system or the justice system out there. So it's like, okay, you guys or girls, whatever you want to identify, keep getting locked up, keep getting in trouble. It's because you're poor, right? You're on the streets on, what, Figueroa or wherever you're going to be, Fillmore Street. You're on the streets doing what you do, a little something strange for a little piece of change. Rather than doing that, we'll give you this UBI, and that will alleviate a lot of your problems. Could that be what's going on? I have no idea. But I'd like to know how they identify this very, very, very small group to give this money to for free with no apparent strings attached. Unlike other government handouts, the cash designated for the qualifying transsexuals is unconditional, meaning it could be spent on anything, including drugs and alcohol. Enrollees do not have to report their spending. Extra to the guarantee of $1,200 a month, Prone 4 reported that the program will provide those accepted into the program with direct services such as gender-affirming medical care, i.e. hormone therapy, genital mutilation, hair removal and prosthetics, mental health care, and financial coaching. So, here's the question. Do you get the $1,200 and all this other stuff, like maybe a sex change? That's what I'm thinking about when you're talking about gender-affirming things. Gender-affirming would be like a sex change or, like I said, hormone therapy. So how does that really work? Are there going to be any underage people? Because we know that's a thing nowadays. Back in 2016, when Trump first run, when he first won, there wasn't a thing called trans youth and this, gender affirming things for kids. That wasn't very popular at all. But now that seems to be all the rage, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that seems to be all the rage. So my question would be, out of this group that they're talking about getting this money, how many of them are very, very young or underage? It shouldn't be anybody underage to get this money, but I'm presuming that they're probably going to be very young too, 18, 19, 20, something like that. But let's keep on going. The program partnership between the Transgender Direct Lion Martin Community Health Services and the city and the county of San Francisco will be accepting applications from November the 15th to December the 15th. Okay, so they've not actually accepted anybody yet. From what I'm able to see here, they will just have 55 slots available. Okay, so here's the qualifications. To qualify, one must be 18 years or older. So that's my question right there. And identify as transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, or intersex. That's not all. Like previous handouts the city has offered, the GIFT program prioritizes applicants on the basis of their race and non-citizen status. So not only are they going to give free money from your tax money in San Francisco, California, they're also going to give it to non-citizens. Now, this could mean if you are a green card holder in the country legally, or if you're just an illegal alien. So you got to have a bunch of different qualifying. So it's like, all right, you got to be an LGBTQ, LMNOP, illegal alien, black woman, natural hair, no weave, club foot, bow-legged, humpback. You got to have all those things. You got to be blind, deaf, mute. You can't touch nobody. You can't smell food. If you have all those things in your favor, then you'll be able to get this money, or you'll be first in line to get the money. If you have a bunch of other little things that put you in the victimhood status, you are qualified to get the money. Now, if you're a regular normie white guy who now identifies as a woman, if you're Caitlyn Jenner, good luck. You're not getting that money, okay, Caitlyn, because you may be trans, you may be LGBT, but you're still a white man at the end of the day. That's how they're going to see it. I'm not saying I'm going to say that, okay? I affirm you as a 6'8" athletic white woman, Bruce Jenner. I affirm you as that, but they're not going to see you that way. But I digress. The GIFT website stated, quote, the program will prioritize, I already read that, but there's more. So they're going to prioritize trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming, intersex, who are also black, indigenous, or people of color, BIPOC, experiencing homelessness, living with disabilities and chronic illnesses, youth and elders, monolingual Spanish speakers, and those who are legally vulnerable, such as TGI people. Okay, what is TGI? Is that, so transgender, gender nonconforming, intersex. Okay, that's a brand new one. Never heard that before, TGI. With TGIF, like back in the day on TV, you know, Full House and Family Matters. Anyway, I'm old. So they are going to prioritize, if you're TGI, undocumented, engaging in survival sex trades, or are formerly incarcerated. So I was kind of on the right path, thinking about they're going to have a bunch of dope things in here. That's what it sounds like. If you're on the streets doing sex work, yeah, I already called it. I already kind of know. I already know how they operate. I know how they operate, so I already called it, and I'm right, obviously. In other words, white English-speaking transsexual American citizens will find themselves at the back of the line. Someone pointed out that while intersex is a real biological condition, it may be possible for persons who satisfy the program's linguistic and racial criteria to erroneously claim transsexual status to qualify for free money. Exactly. Although presently a pilot program pending funding availability, the city may maintain the giveaway. Okay, so there's more here. Preview things they did. But, yeah, this is a whole big mess, and I can't say I'm surprised that they're doing this. This is pretty much typical California. They do things like this. Race-based, racist. They'll say, and I say they, I mean the left, they'll say that we are racist on the right, but I can't tell. They do things based on race, like everything is segmented based on your identity. We just say, okay, come to the table and do right as a citizen, as a person, and have that be it. But they want everything to be segmented into race. Why must it be that way? Maybe they're racists and don't know it quite yet, but I think I'll leave that right there for now. And what say you? How do you feel about this program? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? Whatever your thoughts are, please let me know in the comments below. You guys know where I stand. This is ridiculous, but nothing new in California. And San Fran, that's pretty much how it is. So is anyone going to call it racist? Are they going to call it ableist? Are they going to call it anything that they seem to call us on the right? If we did a thing like this that was specifically for white heterosexuals, oh, man, you're talking about a hate crime would happen. But doing the same exact thing just with different races involved and genders involved, all of a sudden it's not a bad thing. Let's just be consistent and fair rather than trying to pick and choose favorites to enforce certain social rules on. But whatever your thoughts are, please let me know in the comments below. And that's all I got to say for this video. If you like what you heard, please comment, rate, share, and subscribe. Peace.
Welcome back, tribe.
Hi, friends.
This one's wild. Yeah, San Francisco police petition for their robots to have the right to use deadly force. Okay, dude, it's something.
I'm sure they'll be very responsible with it.
Yeah, nightmare movie here in the making. This is like, this is something straight out of Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, what? All right. Look at that thing, dude, and put a gun on top of it and have it run at you and just blow your head off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, he stole a Coke. Shoot him to pieces.
Mm. No hesitation from a robot, nope. I'll tell you that.
Let's see how they sell this. The San Francisco, of course it's San Francisco. Dude.
It'll keep you safe, that's it.
Yeah, of course it happens in a liberal town. Why not? Has proposed a new policy that would permit its militarized law enforcement robots to use lethal force in rare and exceptional circumstances.
Mm.
That's how it starts. Mm. We're going to kill you in rare
and exceptional circumstances
only. And we
to
won't
start off with.
Yeah. Just don't worry.
Until you get used to it.
Yeah. And then we're going to, you know, increase their capacity because they've become so much more useful. And, you know, it just saves police officers' lives And so, yeah, we're going to use them for robberies now, for hostage situations. Oh, and then it's going to just go down to, like, absolute compliance in public.
That's total control of the state.
Mm-hmm. Don't get caught jaywalking because that shit will outrun you, bro. The STD draft policy spelled out how the department plans to use its 17 remote control robots, which are decked out with weapons and are typically used to defuse bombs, reported Fox News. We're seeing a robbery in broad daylight. Is this in San Francisco? Yep. Of course it's a broad daylight robbery in San Francisco. Why not? The robots listed in this section should not be utilized outside of training and simulation. Criminal apprehensions, critical incidents, exigent circumstances, executing a warrant, or during suspicious device assessment, the draft says. Robots will only be used as a deadly force option when the risk of loss of life to members of the public or police officers is imminent and outweighs any other force option available to SFPD. You mean like actual human cops responding and doing their jobs? So what happens when this robot, when is it going to get deployed? Say we have another school incident, a mass casualty incident in school. What are they going to say? It's such a dangerous position for a cop to be in that we're going to send a little robot in there to do the job. We're going to wait to deploy the robot in the hallway, walk its ass over there, break the door down, and send it in to do the job instead of what a cop is supposed to do, protect and serve. Is this where we're at now? Unbelievable. The SFPD Board of Supervisors Rules Committee has already approved the proposed policy and is currently petitioning city officials to legislate it, according to Mission Local. Texan authorities became the first to use a robot to kill a suspect when the Dallas Police Department, of course Texas, loved them guns, why not automate it? And when the police department in 2016 strapped an explosive device to the machine, remotely piloted it towards a gunman and detonated it. The robot can also be fitted with a device called a PAN, or Percussion Actuated Non-Electric Disruptor. This device is a shotgun loaded with a diverse selection of projectiles, liquid, solid, shot frangible, to allow technicians to match projectiles to a given scenario, according to Evan A. Young of the United States Army Combat Capabilities Development Command Armament Center. The SFPD has several PAN disruptors, reported Mission Local. The proposed policy is in response to the state of California passing AB 481, which requires law enforcement agencies to submit an annual report of their arsenals of military-style weapons, including robots. It says an SFPD spokesperson told The Verge that they have always had the ability to employ deadly force when the risk of death of members of the public or officers outweighs the risk of not acting. And then they have them quoted here saying, the robots are just tools used by an operator who pulls the trigger. It's no different than a gun, Ian Miles Chong wrote on Twitter, beta male Ian. Unless you think police shouldn't be allowed to have guns, straw manny, or be forced to put themselves in harm's way, they're cops, because you have a problem with robots. Ian, look,
robot phobic.
Let me make this bigger so you guys can see the simp Ian here. Look at his picture, boys. Squint real
he
well.
He just got blocked off Twitter, too.
He did?
Yeah. You're sending death threats like a little
beta boy, of course. Why? We're not surprised. So there's millions of scenarios, but this is still a quote. There's millions of scenarios in which being able to use a drone to immobilize or neutralize a suspect would be the only way to deal with them without inflicting mass collateral damage. He continued the threat. Someone hasn't seen the statistics from all the collateral damage from our drones. Do we not remember when we droned some kids carrying water?
Does it look
water?
Like he gets out much?
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't. Drone the shit out of kids with water in the trunk of a car.
As long as they're brown.
Basically. But count on anti-robotic Karens to ban their use. We're already shaming people who are anti-robots for lethal force, bro. They're Karens.
They're Karens, bro.
They're robotic Karens, anti-robot Karens.
Karens. Talking about their freedom.
Deb Philman, an independent activist commentator who took a different approach and highlighted some of the atrocities in the criminal justice and law enforcement system. What could possibly go wrong? It's not like the state has demanded we disregard reality, treat men as women, women as men, in prison, stopped arresting shoplifters, and ended cash bail, even for violent criminals. Makes you wonder who these are for, she wrote. That's a good question, Owl of Athena. And then this is a robot doing its thing.
Not scary at all.
I wonder how fast that thing can go.
Oh my gosh.
Hmm. Prancing like a horse. On its way to kill you. Magnificent engineering there. Totally not dystopian at all. I remember DARPA like 10, 15 years ago working on this, and people were shocked at the first iterations where they were like kind of falling over and a little stupid and slow. And now you got them prancing like a horse, and I bet you they can traverse a variety of terrain and hunt you down. What happens when you can automate these to such an extent or remote control them to like, they can go over hills, they can go on upstairs, they can jump fences. What's stopping you from combining this with like facial recognition, tracking somebody's phone, all this, and if you have a dissident and you're an authoritative force and you use this thing to hunt people down and kill them?
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering.
This is literally an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I would go if I'm the military. I'm thinking, okay, what's the max use I could get out of this thing? Okay, well, we need to automate it in some way where it can track a person down. Like we can laser paint them with something, track their phone, feed it the data. This thing goes on its hunt automatically and just kills people with an insane kill rate.
Interesting, too, how they usually try these types of technologies overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they drone people overseas, right? So they test their technology out over there where they can't be held accountable, and then they bring it home. Now we're here.
Right. Now DARPA's killing robot. And it always starts off with, it's for bomb defusal. We're going to use it in defensive situations only, where we don't want to risk lives. Like, we don't need to send a human to cut a wire.
I'm doing this for your benefit, I swear. I
swear to God, dude. Until it's like 15 years down the line, and you're on the internet for misinformation. The Misinformation Governance Board labeled you a radical, and now they send this little robot puppy, Craig, nicknamed on the side of him, sprayed with a kill count notch. Like, it's a fucking game. And that's your ass, bro. Craig's coming, and you're not escaping Craig. Craig has no feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Craig can take bullets, fire, anything.
And when you think about it, this is another way that they're gaining more control over the population, because now that we have police officers, you know, there's still the possibility that the people could unite and the police force could disaffect and no longer be willing to support the government, because that's how they're often used as a tool to prop up the government.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you just have all your robots, they can't tell you anything. You have complete control.
Yeah, they'll follow all your directives,
mm-hmm,
100% without empathizing for the opposition, anything, because it's like you send somebody to kill
the machine.
Innocent people, they're going to have a second thought, you know?
Oh.
But yeah, a machine doesn't think, it just does. What better way to exert control, man, over the population?
And welcome to Tucker Carlson's Night. It is a stable of so-called conspiracy theories that at the highest levels of politics and finance, there is a shadowy cabal of pedophiles who use their power to hide the crimes they commit against children. That people think that. Sounds pretty far out to us, too dark and strange to be true, and of course we are not obviously endorsing that idea. On the other hand, you can kind of see why people might believe it. Jeffrey Epstein, for example. Epstein continued to dine with business moguls and heads of state long after he was arrested for having sex with minors. How did he do that? Why did nobody say anything? Why did people keep eating with him? Well, at the very least, we can conclude based on the evidence that there is a tolerance for pedophilia among some, among the most powerful in our society, a tolerance that you would not find in, say, your average middle-class American family. Some of the rich really are different that way. That's clearly true. And in case you need more evidence of that, consider Balenciaga. Balenciaga is what they call a luxury brand. Balenciaga is a company that sells $1,100 sneakers and cotton sweatshirts for $1,500 to people who've literally run out of things to buy. You're probably not doing your back-to-school shopping at Balenciaga, but some people apparently are. So this week, Balenciaga rolled out a new ad campaign on Instagram, and the selling point of the ads was sex with children. One photograph showed a very young girl lying face down on a couch with candles, empty wine glasses, and a dog collar on a coffee table in front of her. Another picture showed the same girl, a toddler, holding a teddy bear dressed in sexual bondage gear, including a leather harness. And then, in case you missed the point, we're for pedophilia at Balenciaga. Another picture made it explicit. That picture showed pages from a Supreme Court opinion that struck down a law designed to fight child pornography. Whoever staged the photo shoot made certain to include a portion of that opinion that used the word sex or sexual four times. And of course, that was not an accident. Balenciaga wanted you to notice. So this seemed like a big story to us, as we told you last night. Here you have a major international retail brand promoting kiddie porn and sex with children, and not promoting it subtly, but right out in the open. No healthy society can tolerate that, and in fact, none ever have tolerated it. There's never been a time in American history where pedophilia was considered anything other than the worst thing, the most horrifying crime imaginable. Pedophiles famously get killed in prison because even murderers consider them immoral. That's how out of bounds it is and has always been to sexualize children. It's totally unacceptable. But apparently, it's not unacceptable anymore. Academics have redefined child molesters as minor attracted persons, and the point, of course, is to send the message that actually it's not that big a deal. It's just a different kind of love. So maybe not surprisingly, given that trend, apart from a few isolated exceptions in the American media, almost all outlets completely ignored Balenciaga's kiddie porn ad campaign. There was not a single story about it in the New York Times this morning, or Jeff Bezos' Washington Post, or on CNN or NBC. There was no talk of an investigation or a boycott. The usual outrage merchants stayed completely silent because they weren't outraged. Balenciaga ultimately issued a statement saying it was going to punish the photographer who did the shoot, like it was the photographer's fault and they didn't know about it. And after that, the story effectively died. And that means that the CEO of Balenciaga, a man called Cedric Charbit, will not become a social pariah for what his company has just done. He will continue, just as Jeffrey Epstein continued, to enjoy his busy social life totally unpenalized with his many fabulous celebrity friends. Here he is, for example, with the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who looks very excited to be with him. Now, we found that picture, by the way, in less than a minute online. Yet, as far as we know, apart from us on this show, no one has asked Eric Adams about it, and it's likely that nobody ever will. And the reason is simple. The media have no interest in covering the sexualization of children. Their interest, and it's a very intense interest, telling them so, is in destroying anyone who complains about the sexualization of children, or who even notices it. Noticing it, they tell us, is an attack on the LGBT community. So the assumption here, their assumption, apparently, is that gay people are in favor of molesting kids, and of course in favor of performing genital mutilation on minors. But that's absurd. No normal person is for this, gay or not. It's not anti-gay to oppose kiddie porn, or to feel horror at the fact that doctors are cutting the breasts off of healthy teenage girls. These are crimes, and most gay people think they're crimes. Why wouldn't they think that? Protecting children from adults who want to sexually exploit them is a basic human instinct, and it's a noble instinct. And yet NBC News is doing its best to redefine that instinct as a crime. Yesterday, NBC brought on a law enforcement expert, by the way, a former assistant director of the FBI, to warn viewers that anyone who complains about the sexualization of children will be punished by the legal system, will be sued into bankruptcy and destroyed. Watch this.
There was going to be a drag brunch the next day at Club Q. And that's a way to get kids to see, hey, look, it's a person, doesn't necessarily look like the people that you see every day at the store or whatever. But these are real people with lives and emotions. They like the same stories that you do. There's nothing sexualized about it. But every time there's one of those now, the Proud Boys show up because there's an account on the internet called Libs of TikTok that's been pushed by, you know, Tucker Carlson and the Babylon Bee and the far right.
Tucker in particular seems fixated on this anti-queer panic. In addition to his diatribes against drag shows, he's platformed anti-trans activists, used particularly vicious and extreme rhetoric to attack children's hospitals for providing trans youth and medical care.
If he's a consumer of the people we just rattled off, from Lauren Boebert to Tucker Carlson, let's get it out. Let's get it out at trial. Let's expose it for what it is, name it and shame it. He's a consumer of these people, and those people should face civil consequences from the victims.
Oh, so the former assistant director of the FBI calling for, quote, civil consequences against anyone who doesn't like the sexualization of children. If you complain about it, you're responsible for the murders that other people commit. Is that in the legal code? No, it's not. But NBC News is doing its very best to add it. MSNBC has spent the last 2 days suggesting that because he signed a bill banning teachers from sexualizing kindergartners, Ron DeSantis is somehow tied to a mass shooter in Colorado.
Early this year, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis infamously signed into law what critics have called the Don't Say Gay Bill, which prevents some teachers from even discussing the existence of gay and trans folks.
When you have a Don't Say Gay Bill in the state of Florida, for instance, mm-hmm. or when Ron DeSantis wants to send the police to investigate drag shows.
The Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida is certainly something that helps add to his national political profile. But one thing is clear, is they just want to continue demonizing folks and otherizing people.
They started moving in the spring to LGBTQ people. Specifically, they were really excited about the Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida.
So if you don't want a kindergarten teacher to talk to your kindergartner about sex, you're anti-gay? Ron DeSantis is the spiritual father of a mass murder in Colorado? Really? No matter how you feel about Ron DeSantis or about sex, it's not plausible. In fact, it's ridiculous. Yet they keep saying it. And the question is, why do they keep saying it? Well, they're saying it because that's how determined they are to keep you from talking about the subject. They will call you an accessory to murder. They'll threaten to sue you into poverty, as the assistant director of the FBI just did, if you don't shut up. That's pretty weird when you think about it. In fact, it's very weird. But they have nothing else to say, because actually children really are being sexually exploited in this country, in some cases for money. It's not hidden. It's in the open, and it's totally real. This summer, for example, Matt Walsh exposed the atrocities underway at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville. A physician there admitted to mutilating the genitals of children because it's a profit center for the hospital. Watch this.
These surgeries make a lot of money. So females with male chest reconstruction can bring in $40,000. A patient just on routine hormone treatment who I'm only seeing a few times a year can bring in several thousand dollars. So that requires a lot of visits and labs. It actually makes money for the hospital.
It actually makes money for the hospital. Now, if you were a muckraking reporter with a conscience, that would be the story of a lifetime. It's all there on tape. A doctor admitting they're mutilating the genitals of children for money, naming the dollar amounts. How could you pass that up? But everyone passed it up. No one covered it. Instead, journalists attacked Matt Walsh for uncovering it. Really? What's the motive there? Nor do they cover what's going on at hospitals across the country, including CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, the famous hospital. A hospital that admitted in an email to performing bottom surgery on a minor and slicing off the breasts of young women for no medical reason whatsoever. There's no medical justification for that ever, and yet they bragged about doing it. In Boston, a staffer at Children's Hospital bragged on tape about two-year-olds preparing to transition. Truly insane, utterly divorced from legitimate medicine, but again, it was completely ignored. Here it is.
So most of the patients that we have in the DEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the DEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9.
That is not science. That doesn't bear any resemblance to science. That's scary. And yet the media choose to ignore it. Why? Because no decent person can look that or any of this in the face without wincing, because it's just too awful. It has nothing to do with medicine. It has nothing to do with improving the lives of patients or making this a better country. No. It is a dangerous cult that is causing irreparable harm to children, not just a few, but a lot. Now, at some point, when the spell breaks, our entire society will recognize this because it's obvious, and we will all recoil in shame that we ever tolerated it for a second. But we're not there yet. In the meantime, we are grateful for people like Jamie Michelle, who has had the bravery to tell the truth about what's happening in the face of unending threats. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly open stories. Tucker Carlson tonight. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, a day away from politics and mass media with people you love and who love you back. It's really a spiritual spa treatment. That's the ideal. We ought to do it more than a couple times a year. But we are back, and now that we are, an obvious observation. All prosperity in this country depends ultimately on energy. Our consumer economy runs on it. It takes energy to make things and bring them to your house. Our tech economy runs on energy too, a lot of it. how do you think they keep their server farms running? Energy is pretty much, in fact, the key to everything that Americans do for a living. It's the key to healthcare and agriculture and, yes, media and travel and construction, entertainment. Even finance, which is symbiotic with the real economy, depends, in the end, on energy, because you can't lend money to businesses if they no longer exist, and if energy prices go up high enough, they don't exist. So given how central, very obviously central, energy is to everything that matters in America, it's hard to believe that the Biden administration would intentionally make energy much more expensive. Because we know for a fact, having seen it repeatedly through history, that high energy prices will crush our economy faster even than the COVID lockdowns did. People will become poor. Some of them will die. That's not a guess. It will happen. So given all that, it's unimaginable that anyone but our enemies would want to raise our energy prices to the point where them will die. That's not a guess. It will happen. So given all that, it's unimaginable that anyone but our enemies would want to raise our energy prices to the point where our economy collapses. And yet that is exactly what the Biden administration has decided to do. And to do it, they're using twin instruments of climate policy and their war against Russia. The effect? In a nation with the largest recoverable oil reserves on planet Earth, many Americans can no longer afford fossil fuels. And once again, this is not an accident. It's not a natural cycle we're going through. Politicians and policymakers are doing it to us on purpose. Now that the midterm elections are over, the media can finally begin to cover the inevitable results of these policies. CNN, for example, just ran an article about Americans who are worried about freezing to death over the winter in America. One 63-year-old woman in Philadelphia called Charmaine Johnson said that she is torn between heating her home and buying food. And, of course, she's choosing food because she has no choice. It's miserable, she said. It's like living in an igloo. Another man, a 67-year-old man called Tim Wisely, said he turns on his heat only when his teeth begin to chatter. You can't go food shopping and get oil. It's one or the other, he said. It's a horrible feeling. It's a feeling I wouldn't wish on anyone. And it's a feeling that Americans have not had in generations. These are American citizens living in a major American city that used to be considered first world, and they can't afford heat. And it's happening not just in Philadelphia, but everywhere. Average home heating prices went up 17% last year, and they're up another 18% this year. Again, not organic. This is the result of policies from the Biden administration and its allies, not just in the Congress, but in think tanks across Washington and in the entire American news media. This did not happen by accident. As Fox Business has reported, once winter arrives, the problem is going to get much worse.
We're riding around with oil for less, and they say that their customers are struggling to keep up with these skyrocketing costs. Across the board, heating costs are expected to be high this winter. Heating oil in particular, up 68% year over year. Today, they filled up this tank with about $950 worth of home heating oil. A year ago, the same amount of oil would have cost them closer to $600. That's why the company tells me that some customers are just doing without.
People have gone without hot water and heat for a week just because they haven't had the money to call me and say, hey, come on in.
They don't have the money for hot water or heat? Again, what country is this? Any country that can't provide hot water or heat in the winter isn't much of a country. And again, it doesn't need to be this way because we have the largest recoverable oil reserves on the planet. What happens when energy costs continue to rise? Well, people run out of money, and it doesn't take long. According to data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, households are spending their cash reserves far faster than anyone, all those economists, projected, even as credit card debt reaches historic levels. If you're borrowing money for household expenses on your credit card at exorbitant rates, you're done. As Business Insider reported, quote, Americans have already burned through a third of their pent-up savings. That's nearly three times more than previously thought, and signals spending will soon slow down. Yeah, that's what happens when people run out of money. They stop spending it because they don't have it, and then the consumer economy slows. So when energy costs rise, again, just to be clear, because it's not sophisticated economics here, when they rise, so does the price of everything else. And the first staple to rise in cost is the one that you have to have, and that's food. Watch.
On the menu this year for Thanksgiving, rising prices. Overall, prices are up 7.7% from last year, and grocery prices are more than 12% higher than a year ago. Here's what it means for the family grocery bill as you shop for the big day. First, the turkey. per pound prices for turkey are up 17% year over year. An average frozen turkey costs roughly $2.38 a pound. That's up from $1.74. Now, you can blame the avian flu outbreaks and higher fuel, feed, and labor costs because of inflation running near 40-year highs. What about eggs? Eggs cost 43% more than a year ago. Butter and margarine are up 34%. Flour is up nearly 25%. Your pies are going to cost more to make. These higher prices could potentially change Thanksgiving plans.
So why is this happening? Well, you heard the reporter allude to it, but not really explain it. There are, of course, many factors, but there are two big factors that are driving this, driving inflation and the rising cost of everything around you. And they are, in order, global warming policy and the war in Ukraine. Now, as it always does, the left use people's best instincts, compassion, and care for the planet to subvert them into supporting these two lunatic policies. If you care about people, you support the war in Ukraine. If you care about the planet, you support global warming policy. But, of course, neither one of these was about what they said it was about. Both of them were designed to spike energy costs, to increase the control of the people currently in charge, and to enrich their donors. So if you wanted to fix this, the very first thing you would do, if you wanted to help the American middle class, would be to force a ceasefire in Ukraine. That would help the world, and it would help our middle class. Then you would encourage more domestic energy production because we have the domestic energy. Then you would take a look at the trillions we have spent on renewable energy, solar panels, electric cars, wind power. This has made a small group of people incredibly rich, but it has put our grid in peril, and it has raised the cost of energy beyond the reach of middle-class Americans. But the Biden administration is not looking for solutions, just the opposite. They're looking for ways to squeeze a few more dollars out of an increasingly impoverished American middle class. According to Bloomberg this week, and we're quoting, the IRS says more auditors and upgraded technology could help raise as much as $1 trillion. Oh, so you have less money and they plan to take more. If that's not an act of hostility, what is? It is an act of hostility. They don't like you and they're not hiding it. But big picture, every other major company in America is laying people off, but the IRS somehow, thanks to Joe Manchin, the moderate from West Virginia, the IRS somehow has the dough to hire 87,000 new employees. And they're coming for you. They didn't hire those people by accident. They hired them to take more of your money. So businesses who have to forecast for a living have seen this coming, and they're preparing to cut workers. And so what this looks like, if you take three steps back, is an economic death spiral. Ahead of Christmas shopping season, when Amazon usually adds employees, Amazon is now laying off employees, a lot of them, 10,000 people laid off from Amazon. And the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, is actually encouraging people, his customers, not to buy his products. Watch this.
The economy does not look great right now. Things are slowing down. You're seeing layoffs in many, many sectors of the economy. People are slowing down. The probabilities say if we're not in a recession right now, we're likely to be in one very soon. If you're an individual and you're thinking about buying a new, you know, large screen TV, maybe slow that down. Keep that cash. See what happens. Same thing with a refrigerator or a new car or whatever. This takes some risk off the table. If you're a small business, maybe delay some capital purchases. Do you really need that new piece of equipment? Maybe it can weigh a little bit. Have some cash on hand. Just a little bit of risk reduction could make the difference for that small business if we do get into even more serious economic problems. So you got to play the probabilities a little bit.
Wait, so the guy who sells big screen TVs on the internet is telling his customers, the source of his personal wealth, not to buy big screen TVs off the internet? Really? That's how worried he is. He actually, for maybe the first time ever, is caring about you. Well, that's quite amazing. And he's not the only one. Bezos is not the only one who's worried that something bad is about to happen to our economy, the global economy. In October, the IMF warned that 2023 will bring a recession for most of the world. That same month, the CEO of JP Morgan, the country's biggest bank, Jamie Dimon, said a recession is almost certain in the coming months. So what do you do to avert a disaster? Well, you probably can't stop it. You should know what its outlines will look at. Take a look at the housing market if you want to know. Home sales are at their lowest level in a decade. As the Fed raises interest rates to fight inflation, mortgages become too expensive. But if the Fed were to cut interest rates, home prices would go up along with inflation. You see the problem here. We've reached the end of monetary policy's ability to tweak our economy. So faced with all of this, the one thing you'd hope is to have an administration that understands what the problem is and might at least be interested in fixing it and taking care of the middle class, people who don't have a margin, people who are on the bottom. They're always the subject of our concern. What do we do about the homeless? What do you do about people who make $80,000 in the New York suburbs? Nobody cares about them. Here's Joe Biden explaining with a straight face that actually everything's fine. His economic plan is working.
Folks, my economic plan is showing results. People are starting to feel it. We're making progress on bringing down inflation without losing jobs. Folks are seeing much needed break in inflation at the grocery store as we head into holidays.
So that's pathetic, and everyone knows it's pathetic, and maybe the only upside of the Biden administration is that there's really no lying at this point. This isn't working. They just did better than expected in the midterms, the Democratic Party, unfortunately. But we're now facing the next election in 2024, and no sane person wants Joe Biden to run because everybody gets that this is unsustainable. Even the media gets that at this point. So the question is, who replaces Joe Biden, and what can that person do about the disaster that his administration has created? Looking ahead tonight, we are honored to welcome Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and one of the smartest people we know. Professor, thanks so much for joining us. So thank I think you. It's pretty clear where we are, how we got here. What next?
Well, unfortunately, Tucker, we had a midterm referendum on the Biden administration, and they not only didn't articulate what they were doing, they didn't defend it, and worse yet, they didn't promise to change. And so they look at the referendum, the midterms, and they think, you know what? Inflation, oil prices, we didn't even talk about it. Instead, we called our enemies semi-fascist. We said they were un-American. We said women were dying all over the country when they can't get abortions. And that was a successful formula. So we're going to do what we did before. We're going to double down on it. We would rather be ideologically correct than worry about the American people, the middle class. This is exactly what he promised on the campaign trail in 2020. He said he was going to eliminate fossil fuel. He just picked up the mantra from Barack Obama, who said he was going to make electricity prices skyrocket when he shut down coal. And Stephen Chu, the designate energy secretary in 2008, said he wanted European high prices. I think we got to get acculturated to the fact that this, as you said, was deliberate. It's going to continue, and they see it as a great good. They're never subject to the consequences of their own ideology, and they feel we stupid middle-class people don't know what's good for us. They do, and we've got to go down this green road into oblivion. And every once in a while, when they get close to an election, they can tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or they can get a $500 billion student loan amnesty. And then after the midterms are over, we'll hear about all the layoffs or the Bitcoin collapse of Mr. Bankman-Fried, and then they can continue putting a little band-aid on the wound until the next election. But they're not going to change, unfortunately.
No, they're not going to change. And I think that's the key insight right there. They're not going to change. They're not. And voters didn't force them to the cycle, unfortunately.
Well, everything you've articulated, Tucker, is absolutely true, but they wouldn't disagree with you. They would say, yes, this is the cost of transitioning to a green future, and there's going to be some damage. It's not going to be us that hurt, but they're not ashamed. They're not apologetic.
Yeah. Wait, until they ban private air travel, I'm not listening to a word they say, and I mean that. Victor Hanson, great to see you tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So as we just told you, a lot of people in this country, hard to believe, but it's real, will not be able to afford to heat their homes this winter. The CEO of a New England energy company has wrote a letter to Biden saying the power grid might not make it through either. Eversource CEO Joseph Nolan told Biden, quote, "I'm deeply concerned about the potentially severe impact a winter energy shortfall would have on the people and businesses of this region." Mike Taylor owns Combined Energy Services. He joins us tonight to assess what this winter will look like with this energy crisis. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. I know we've talked about this before. How are you feeling about this winter? We're at the end of November. What does it look like for the next 4 months?
Well, Tucker, I've been speaking with some of my suppliers, and also Opus provides a lot of information to industry. They're claiming that inventories are at 65% of the five-year average. A good news is a refinery in Nova Scotia just reopened. Irving Oil supplies much of New England, and Paulsboro, New Jersey is back up supplying the New York Harbor. So I think we're at a fine line, as I said before, with heating oil and diesel in the Northeast. But my suppliers are saying as long as we keep this La Nina warm weather pattern, I think we're going to have enough heating oil for this coming winter. I think the bigger problem, as you said, is the Biden administration, their war against fossil fuels. We're missing 5 refineries in the United States. That's over 1 million barrels a day. They shut down when COVID hit, and they have no plans of reopening, as well as apparently we have control over one in St. Croix that they can't meet clean air emissions. We've shut down a refinery in another country. So the administration's war on fossil fuels, Tucker, is just mind-blowing.
So there's such a demand for fossil fuels, for diesel, kerosene, heating oil, jet fuel, gasoline, of course. How could 5 and 6, including St. Croix, refineries be closed? I don't understand that.
Well, I'm assuming it's a demonization of fossil fuels and these institutions no longer allowing reinvestment in them. But I look back at the agenda to put us on electric. So, Tucker, I was at a panel discussion in Albany, New York, of the Empire Center this past spring. National Grid had a presenter there, a large electric and natural gas utility in the Northeast. Their representative said on winters, on the coldest day in winter, they put out 4 to 5 times as much energy with natural gas than electric does on its hottest day in summer. So somehow up here in the Northeast, New York, we're going to eliminate all the natural gas, heating oil, propane, and we expect the grid to pick this up. I just can't imagine how this is going to work. And they've also said electric rates are up 65% this season. Where do we think this is going to take us?
Well, it's insane. And natural gas is far cleaner than renewables. It's far cleaner all in than solar or wind. I mean, it's lunacy. And I appreciate you pointing that out every time. Mike Taylor, thank you.
You got it. Thanks for having me, Tucker.
So the cryptocurrency exchange FTX blew up in spectacular fashion. It looks like fraud. But in the wake of that, rather than thinking through, like, why did regulators let this happen, there's a new effort underway to regulate every single financial transaction that occurs in this country through something called the Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. If that happens, we're done. They can control you with a flick of a switch. So you should know what they're planning. FTX blew up a couple weeks ago. It looks like one of the biggest, maybe the single biggest financial scam in history. And you have to wonder, how is this allowed? So the head of the company was all over the media, and in a number of interviews, he was wearing shorts and playing video games. Why did nobody notice? And where were the regulators? Where was Gary Gensler? Well, they were apparently giving this guy a pass because they knew him or they agreed with his politics. So they're not being punished for what they allowed to happen. Thousands of people defrauded out of their life savings. Instead, they're using the collapse of FTX to their own advantage to push for something called Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. Now, what is Central Bank Digital Currency? Well, that's where all financial transactions are effectively controlled by the central bank, really by the government. And as we saw in Canada last winter, if they don't like what you're doing, they can zero out your savings with a keystroke. So you have no autonomy whatsoever. You are completely under the control of the people in charge who, by the way, may hate you. So this appears to be coming in this country. Several banks have announced already that they're working with the Fed to implement a CBDC. Once again, if this happens, we're done. No more political debate. We will have unprecedented levels of regulation, of surveillance, and of control. It's effectively Chinese social credit scores come to America. Russell Brand recently explained all of this in a clip of the new Prime Minister of the UK, Rishi Sunak, boosting a CBDC for England. Watch this.
Is a keen advocate of CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. Here he is, in fact, advocating for them.
Today, I'm proud to say that under the UK's presidency, the group of the world's 7 most advanced economies, the G7, is launching a set of public policy principles for retail central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Central bank digital currencies could be a digital version of money, a bit like a digital banknote.
I like it, because we've got a broad concept. What if this person's an idiot? Which we think that they are. It's like a digital penny for your digital money box, for your digital hole that you live in. You will owe nothing. You will be happy.
That could be used alongside physical notes and coins.
For now, till we phase them out, if you start any little trucker protests, oh, where's my money my God, the digital piggy bank is frozen, I'm afraid. Start being a bit more cooperative.
Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK.
That's good, a central bank. Nothing wrong with centralised authority, centralised power, globalist decrees coming down from on high, avoiding democracy. That's exactly what we want. Keep talking.
And governments and central banks across the world are working together.
They're working together. Well, that's just such great news. The IMF, the World Bank. Why don't we involve the WEF and the WHO? What we need are unelected global bodies that have been able to co-opt political power, respond to financial power, and ignore and oppress ordinary people. Whether it's the recent medical emergency or the cost of living crisis, we're seeing the benefits all around us. I can't wait for your next policy. You're going to take our money now. This is great.
Looking into what having a digital currency might mean in practice.
I think I know what it means in practice. More power for you, no power for us.
This includes issues that people care about, such as ensuring users' money would be safe and secure, that it could work with other ways to pay, would be energy efficient.
Oh, it's got to be energy efficient. I was about to say, is it energy efficient? Is it energy efficient? I've got to make sure. Oh, a few other questions. You wouldn't use this ever, would you, to implement control or to advance social credit type systems or to shut down the bank accounts of people you disagree with or to surveil people and have a surveillance network that you've developed in conjunction with big tech and now a financial arm that you're developing so that you can lockstep together and gridlock us in a digital prison of surveillance tyranny?
Answer to those questions? Oh, yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy is one of the smartest people we ever talked to, author of Nation of Victims, joins us tonight to assess. So, Vivek, thanks for coming on. So here you have regulators in the United States failing in the most obvious possible way to rein in this cryptocurrency exchange. And then in the wake of that, they're not punished, but they've decided they're going to use it to get more power for themselves. Am I misreading what's happening here?
I think you're reading it correctly. As the expression goes, never let a good crisis go to waste. Now, I think these CBDCs here in the U.S. are a really bad idea, Tucker, for a few reasons, but it's worth knowing the reason that economists supposedly support it, right? So the main argument is they say that actually China is doing it, and the U.S. will be less competitive, and that the dollar would be less strong if the U.S. fails to keep up. There are so many things wrong with that argument, but the first and most obvious is that that's a good path to get us to be more like China, which is not a good way for the U.S. to go in terms of being a surveillance state. And actually, it's exactly for that reason that if you think about it, the U.S. could actually have a stronger dollar if it does not jump onto the CBDC bandwagon, because people might want to actually hold a currency that doesn't allow them to be the subject of surveillance and control. So you could make the argument equally in reverse about the supposed strong dollar that we're going to miss out on without the CBDCs. And this is, of course, against the backdrop that you know well, Tucker, which is the fetishization of the strong dollar as supposedly a good end-all, be-all anyway.
That's right.
It actually hurts American manufacturers, and there's a very good reason why China has artificially tried to depress its currency to have a weaker yuan. So on many levels, the argument fails.
This is not an investment show, but since you're very fluent in this language and knowledgeable, what will this do to gold prices? I mean, if they get close to this, a lot of people are just going to try to opt out of the system, correct?
I would think that it has a big effect, a positive effect on gold prices. Markets have been a little bit weird in the last year where gold certainly hasn't gone up as you might have actually otherwise predicted it to in normal times. But against that backdrop, though, when you ultimately all forms of paper become meaningless and actually go into digital currencies that could be means of governments effectuating control, that might be the last stand for actually gold finally having the last laugh at the end of the day. But more importantly, Tucker, is we should not see this great reset, this dissolution of boundaries between the public and private sector, between different nations, ultimately create this new world order. And CBDCs, mark my words, are just the symptom of that deeper cancer.
Well, that is exactly right. So nicely put. Vic, it's great to see you tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So they've been telling you that the problem is you're keeping too much of your money. That's why we need 87,000 new IRS agents. Again, thank you, Joe Manchin. But at the same time, they are sending tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine's beggar king, the thug in the tracksuit, constantly demanding money. It's completely over the top. And so we decided to put together a video montage of some of Zelensky's most recent demands. Not
Virginia. Police now say the gunman, who was a store manager, left a note on his phone accusing co-workers of mocking him. Police say the handgun used in Tuesday night's shooting was legally purchased the same day. The gunman killed six people, then died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A U.S. patrol base in northeast Syria has been targeted by two rockets. U.S. Central Command says no one was hurt and the base was not damaged. Syrian Democratic Forces who visited the rocket origin site found a third unfired rocket. U.S. forces first deployed to Syria during the Obama administration's campaign against ISIS. There are currently about 900 U.S. troops there. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to Tucker Carlson tonight. For all of your headlines, log on to FoxNews.com.
ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. In other words, it doesn't really mean anything, but it means everything. It's a business version of a Chinese social credit score. It's a way for the left to control companies and make certain that all the money, all the investments go to causes they believe in. Well, the effects of this, not surprisingly, have been a complete disaster. Countries with high ESG scores, like Sri Lanka and Ghana, are collapsing, but the Biden administration still sees those countries as a model for us. They've decided to transform our economy with ESG. This is what happens when all decisions are made through a political slash ideological lens. That works great in sociology class. It doesn't work very well if you're running a country. But it's the reason the Biden administration is pushing so-called renewables and electric cars, which increase our reliance on China. China makes the solar power and panels and the wind turbines of the world. They also control most of the materials needed to make batteries for those electric cars. Michael Schellenberg is one of the few people who sees the big picture here and the details. He's the author of Apocalypse Never. He joins us tonight. Michael Schellenberger, thanks so much for coming on. So the rest of us just sort of noticed that groceries are a lot more expensive and gas is up and heating oil is unobtainable. You see, I think, what's really going on here. This is a much bigger movement, really, that's been thought through.
Well, that's right. It's good to be with you, Tucker. And I mean, the evidence is in. We've been experimenting now with renewables for a couple of decades. You know, China controls 90% of the market for rare earths, and wind, solar, and batteries require 700% more rare earths than conventional fuels. So moving towards wind, solar, and batteries is a recipe for making ourselves dependent on Chinese energy. When we are rich in natural gas and oil, our natural gas actually reduced the price of energy over the last two decades. It reduced our carbon emissions. Natural gas is a blessing that President Biden is boasting about shutting down. You may remember that right before the election, he shouted, "No more drilling," at a New York rally. So yeah, this is an effort to enrich a small number of global elites at the expense of the American people. And in terms of the ESG, the criteria of environment, social governance, nothing is worse than solar panels made in China. They're made by enslaved Uyghur Muslims. They make electricity in the United States expensive, and they make us dependent on China.
Once you say it that way, you realize that they don't have arguments. They only have force, and that's why they have to call you a denier, suggesting that you're immoral and crazy, because they don't have anything to say to that, as you know, because you live it. Michael Schellenberger, as always, a voice of wisdom. I appreciate it.
चलो भाई चलते हैं मिशन पे पहले देख लेते हैं कितनी दूर जाना है यहां से सैंडी स्टोर चलो ज्यादा दूर नहीं है लेकिन चलेंगे चलो ऐसे भगाएंगे ना गाड़ी अगर कोई स्पोर्ट्स